welcome to some amazing discussions from the voices of young America. Welcome to Women Investing in Women and Girls. In the next hour, you'll hear from leading women in academics, business, entertainment, and more. Now, here are your hosts.
Welcome, everybody. You are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm Maddie Rose, and co-hosting with me today is Claire Hayden, and we are going to be introducing our guest, Lisa Markham, which is Emic Interactive Media. Along here today with us also is Anu Bardwaj of Women Investing in Women. So thank you so much, Lisa, for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on air.
Thank you so much, Maddie. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks. So, Lisa, please start off by telling me a little bit about yourself and just kind of your background.
Well, my background for 25 years was broadcast television. I actually started out a few years in radio and then made the leap to television. I was about 24, 25 at the time, and going into television was really not my focus in college. It was graphic arts and architectural design, but I was really drawn to it basically because I was a child of television. I was raised on television. And when an opportunity came up in radio, I figured that was a pretty good segue into television. So I learned about radio and then made the leap to television in Sacramento, California. That was the days when the Who Shot JR was at the pinnacle of the primetime ratings. And you were selling 30-second ads for $3,000 a piece. And so therefore the money was quite lucrative. And the opportunities for women were, even though I was the first woman hired at that particular market. And then I came back into television in Fresno and met a gentleman that was building out 27 stations. At that time, there were only two. And asked me if I would like to join the company. And I said I would, as long as he taught me everything about television in 10 years. And then I could take over and run the station at 32. And that's what happened.
Wow.
So I did that for many, many years, and the Tribune Company heard about me. They were building UHF television stations, and they're kind of a different animal than VHF stations. Mm-hmm. And since I had experience in that, I came to San Diego, a station that they purchased, and built that out to the Fox affiliate it is today.
Wow, well, that's quite the accomplishment. That's awesome. And I know that you mentioned, you know, that you were the first woman to be hired in that market, essentially, for such a long period of time. But what is it like to work in such a competitive market? I think that that's a great thing to kind of address for some people who don't necessarily know the feeling of it.
Well, first of all, let me understand what you mean by competitive market.
Mm-hmm.
You mean competitive in terms of men or just competitive in terms of being a market where there's many signals?
I would say probably being in a market with many men, because that is the case many times.
Yes, it is. It was funny. There was a magazine. I don't think it's in circulation any longer, but they just thought it was quite interesting, and maybe I was quite the pink Eskimo in the market, and they had to do a cover on their magazine of me and all the male television general managers. And, you know, at first I think they thought I was a bit of a novelty, and they humored me, and they all took meetings with me because we all wanted to get to know each other. And but I really think that they kind of dismissed me at first. And I loved that. Flying under the radar is one of the smartest things women can do. You don't need to come out of the gate and tell everybody, oh, I'm going to win this race. You just want to do it quietly and stealthily. And then before they know it, you're gaining on them. It's the old tortoise and the hare. So that, and I pretty much knew that was how I was going to operate. But I also had to build out a very fledgling station. No one took it seriously. Its call letters were KTTY, Channel 69. So you can imagine being a female, and I had to introduce myself as the GM of Kitty 69. That was not a good position to be in. So I quickly changed the call letters and repositioned the channel number. And it went on from there, just little baby steps, but I stayed very focused and I had a marvelous team.
Very cool. And I can see, you know, that was kind of like that moment of triumph, you know, to kind of kickstart your career. And then everything just kind of fell into place from there.
Well, you know, it did. But then behind the scenes, I was experiencing quite a bit of chauvinism.
Mm-hmm.
There were blatant remarks made at the station I was with in Sacramento. That was in the 80s. I was the first woman hired there in television. And there were six men that were all in the sales department together, and they were wonderful. But they were bullied.
Wow.
By the general sales manager and by the general manager. Women were called names openly that I can't say on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
But they were the most horrible names you can imagine. And the situation was just rife with somebody standing up to that, but nobody was because, of course, you know, women wanted to get into these positions and stay in these positions. And what do you do once you're there? Do you blow the whistle and say, I'm not going to put up with this anymore? You could get fired, and then you can't accomplish your goal. So I ran into quite a bit of chauvinism and misogyny throughout my career, and I had to handle that while then trying to accomplish what every man accomplished, but they didn't have that in their way.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's definitely great to hear that you've overcome those obstacles to get to where you are now. And I heard in a previous interview that you did that even like in the footnotes of basically the Tribune, they were saying, you know, don't hire a woman, don't hire a woman. And this is exactly what's going to happen. And these are the guidelines. And, you know, it was just kind of a prejudice that they had back then.
Well, you have to remember, you know, that was the late 1800s.
Very true. Mm-hmm.
And you know, women were, you know, in the early 1900s, you know, obviously we had to get the vote first and foremost. But, you know, there was a tremendous amount of push that was done after the 1900s. But during the time that he wrote that, all of the men were in charge of the railroads and in charge of the big publishing companies. And they tended to be egomaniacs.
Mm-hmm.
And they did what they wanted. They had wives, but they also had mistresses. And that was just kind of the thing then. And Colonel McCormick had written this handbook. And each chapter identified how you would basically run your publishing company. And they very much defined they must be a tall man and he must be white.
Mm-hmm.
They liked 6'2" for some reason. And the caveat was, and you are never to hire a woman, ever.
Wow.
So, you know, some of those things, you know, we know a lot of the women that came through the ranks in the 70s and 80s, they were tough years. We were educated and trying to break through, but there was still that old mindset. And there were a lot of men that were kind of afraid that if we got into the workforce, we might replace them in the workforce.
Hmm.
And certainly we saw post-recession, that kind of happened. But that's not a bad thing. It turned out to be a very good thing.
And during the course of your career, have you seen this industry transform as it relates to hiring of more women? And if so, I mean, what are some of the contributing factors for that shift?
Well, actually, in the broadcast industry, it's very disappointing. You haven't seen that at all. There are the same number of female general managers today than there were 25 years ago. And that's kind of sad. Now, I will skip over and delineate it and say in the cable industry, HBO and FX and all of the cable pay television side, you've got Ann Sweeney. She's been in her position for many years. That's much more pro-female. But it's the public broadcast, which is interesting because it's public broadcasters, and women are 52% of the population. That's still markedly low in women in positions. They don't run stations. They don't run broadcast groups. There's only a handful. So, and that industry needs a strong wake-up call.
Wow, that's definitely very powerful. And with that being said, Lisa, it looks like it's time to take a break. So let's go ahead and do that. You're listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls.
Join Kid Chef Eliana for Cool Kids Cook. Eliana is one of the youngest published cookbook authors and will show you that there are all kinds of goodness in food, beyond the chicken nuggets and fries. On our show, we'll discover cuisine from around the world, learn some great cooking techniques, speak with some of the world's top chefs, and share recipes. Kid Chef Eliana is here for you on Cool Kids Cook every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Bon appetit!
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Join us every week for the Paper Hope Street Team. None of our topics are off the table. This is a program that you can listen to and discuss with your family. From the pages of the Paper Hope blog to the internet radio airwaves, we'll talk about the topics you want to talk about, such as friendship and relationships, or some more controversial issues about sex, drugs, and underage drinking. Join the Paper Hope Street Team live every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America Kids channel. Let's talk soon.
You're listening to Voice America Kids. Real kids, real talk.
You are
radio.
Listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Be sure to join in the discussion by tweeting us at #WomenInvest or on Facebook at Women Investing in Women. We want to hear what you have to say. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm Maddie Rose here with Claire Hayden, and we're bringing it back to Lisa Markham. And also we have Anu Bhardwaj on the air with us. So we were basically just talking a little bit about the market, the competitiveness of the broadcast market, and how Lisa has truly made her way through that, have defeated all odds, was the first woman to be hired to the Chicago Tribune after 150 years, which is truly remarkable, and is just saying something that women are truly capable of doing great things. So Lisa, I kind of want to bring it back to you in that sense and say, what attributes do you feel are for a successful woman entrepreneur?
Well, first and foremost, it has to be confidence. And this can't be false confidence. And what I mean by that is I have seen many women understand the presence that they need to have and the ability to articulate it, but down deep inside, they may not believe in themselves. So first and foremost, you have to be completely confident with yourself, meaning knowing that you might get 100 or 200 or 300 people tell you that your idea is stupid or worse, that they don't think it can work, that maybe you're not old enough or maybe you're too old. You'll get a myriad of all of that. Down deep inside, you have to have that fundamental core in your gut that says, I am a wonderful person, I'm the smartest person in the room, and I'm going to change the world, and believe it. Secondly, you have to have the ability to articulate and articulate your vision. A well-spoken person is everything. And to know what your vision is and know how you're going to get there and who's going to help you get there has to be very much delineated in your mind so that you can articulate it in an elevator pitch. And I ask women that all the time when they're explaining to me about what they want to do in their career. And women are so good at really talking about so many things at once because we have such a vision about many things. But again, sometimes it's just focused on that singular thing that you want to accomplish and articulate that in an elevator pitch.
So who is your role model?
Well, I would have to say the role models of my generation would definitely be Gloria Steinem and Bella Abzug. These are women known as feminists. I didn't really see it as that. My mother, she raised two girls as a single mother. I never had a father. And she did that back in the days where, you know, I went to Catholic school and no parents were divorced then. And we were kind of looked down upon because she was a single mother. So I would have to say what she went through. And she went back to school and got her education at 79 from San Diego State and graduated.
Wow.
with her master's at 82.
Oh, my goodness.
And got straight A's. So I would have to say my mother, too. But, you know, really who my heroes are and my role models are everyday women that I meet that are doing something out there that says, I can and I will. Those are still my heroes and still people I look up to.
That's a wonderful thing. And, you know, speaking of role models, let's talk a little bit about what mentorship means to you. I heard, again, in that other interview that you did that, you know, mentorship is the greatest thing that you can give to young women. And it's truly going to push them to their true potential.
You know, mentorship to me means caring, really deeply caring about the person that's sitting in front of you. And I've had so many women I've had an opportunity to mentor as I've gone through the whole broadcast and then later in life when I started businesses and met women that wanted to do the same. I truly, truly care about them. I want them to succeed because it's just been an unlevel playing field for so long. I didn't have a lot of women that helped me at all, and I wish there had been. There's just certain things that you can tell a woman and confide in her and only she gets.
Mm-hmm.
So I think first and foremost, it's caring and then taking the time to shepherd that person all the way through. It could be a 6-month journey. It could be a year journey. It could be longer than that. Make a commitment that you will mentor that woman or that girl and then stay with her until she no longer needs you. And I say that in the nicest way.
That's awesome. So how are you actively helping other women entrepreneurs?
Well, my company does work with many female-run companies. Ridge Diagnostics is run by a woman, Lana Williams, Chris Michelle, the CEO of the Downtown Partnership. It's funny, all of my clients as of late have all been female CEOs, and I think there's a deliberate reason for that. And then through them and through all my other clients and people that I've met in the investment world, I've met a great deal, many women, and many of them are still coming in from broadcast. There's mm-hmm. 4 or 5 right now that I'm mentoring.
That's awesome.
And it's not a, you know, formal structure. Nobody signs an agreement. You will mentor me. Thank you very much. I will learn from you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very informal, and they can call me at any time and I can call them. And it's emails over the weekend, it's meeting for coffee, and it's helping them achieve their goals. That's really what mentorship is.
Go on, Maddie.
Well, you know, mine personally, I try and stay very, very focused on my written goals. And sometimes those goals change, but I like to have at least 3 goals that I accomplish, given however, whatever time frame that might be. It could be 6 months, it could be a year, it could be 5 years. But I try and stay very focused on those goals and always try and reach out to people. And this is everybody, not just women, but anybody that can help me achieve those goals so that I can continue the work that I want to do and then continue to give back.
That's wonderful. And speaking of success, I think this is the perfect time to go into a little bit more about Emic Interactive Media. And then I also heard that you founded something called www.hiphelp.org. And I just kind of want to know what your inspiration behind that all was.
Well, unfortunately, I had a hip replaced. I'm a DES daughter, which kind of goes back into my female understanding. My mother took the hormone replacement therapy, DES, in the 50s, which caused a lot of women, their offspring, to actually be infertile. I was lucky enough I was not infertile and had 2 wonderful daughters. And that's another reason why I do what I do. But I had this DES, this affliction that was diagnosed in my 40s, had to have a hip replaced. I did. And that hip turned out to be defective. And it was sold on the market when it shouldn't have. And 90,000 Americans were implanted with it. And so I started to learn, well, how could this happen? How could the FDA allow this? Who are the medical device mm-hmm. companies doing this? And that led me on a 5-year journey because then I had to have the other hip replaced. And I thought I was pretty smart and knew everything about the good ones and the bad ones. And that hip was defective. So I had to have both hips removed and new ones put in 4 and 4.5 years.
Wow.
And then I started the website, which opened me up to the world. So I have patients all over the world that email, call me, male, female, 750 so far. And I try to help them understand how they can be better advocates themselves and understand that the medical device industry can be not the best for them, and they must understand it.
Wow. Well, you telling your story is definitely, again, such a powerful thing, and I think it educates us more to kind of look beyond and see that these are things that people go through, but then also we're doing something to educate people about it and thus hopefully inspiring them and encouraging them to go after whatever it is that they truly see themselves doing.
I agree with you, Maddie. And one other point I want to make real quickly is I've seen women get knocked down and they're devastated by it. And they get too devastated. Men don't do that. They just kind of brush it off. I would say to women, take the knocks. You're going to get knocked down. It's going to hurt. Get right back up and get right back out there. That is the true mark of an entrepreneur and a successful person. Cry in the corner if you have to, but do it for just a few minutes. Get back out there. It's so important.
That's great words of wisdom, Lisa. So I think that's the perfect note to land on. So let's take a break. You're listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls.
Are you ready to explore the amazing world under the sea? Your host is a certified scuba diver, explorer. He likes to cook. And most of all, he's just a kid like you. You'll find out a lot more lies under the sea than what you've seen on TV, in movies, and even in aquatic parks. You'll learn about all kinds of fish, as well as other sea creatures. We'll take you to some exotic destinations and so much more. There's a whole big world under sea just waiting to be discovered. Tune in to Under the Sea, Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Voice America Kids.
Sometimes we may sound strange, but remember, we're just kids with opinions. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
There's so much going on in the tech field. The tech team is here to sort it all out so that you know exactly what you need to get and what you should avoid. In this age of cell phones and text messaging and new discoveries every single day, you need to be informed. We'll bring you previews of new products, technology news, and help you make the right decision when you are out there buying that new MP3 player, cell phone, or mobile device. Don't do a thing until you've tuned in to the tech team. Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids.
Looking for an on-air community where teens talk and the world listens? Tune in to Express Yourself, an entertaining adolescent fusion radio program where passion and possibility populate the airwaves. Our vivacious teen hosts and star-studded field reporters from around the country offer stimulating segments and invigorating viewpoints connecting with the world campus of young people. We'll talk with cool celebrities, exhilarating experts, and tenacious teens with experience. Tuesdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. Express yourself.
What do you want to do? Are you interested in the performing arts? If so, make sure you tune in to the Angel and Harmony Show. Angel and Harmony have experience singing, acting, and performing in general, and want to help you live out your dreams of the future. Whether you are interested in acting, modeling, dancing, or singing, this is the show for you. We'll even give you the scoop on being behind the scenes if you're a little shy. The Angel and Harmony Show is heard live every Thursday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
What's cooking? Join Kid Chef Eliana for Cool Kids Cook. Eliana is one of the youngest published cookbook authors and will show you that there are all kinds of goodness in food, beyond the chicken nuggets and fries. On our show, we'll discover cuisine from around the world, learn some great cooking techniques, speak with some of the world's top chefs, and share recipes. Kid Chef Eliana is here for you on Cool Kids Cook every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Bon appetit!
Keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
You are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Be sure to join in the discussion by tweeting us at hashtag Women Invest or on Facebook at Women Investing in Women. We want to hear what you have to say. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, everybody, to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm Maddie Rose, here with Claire Hayden, Anu Bardwaj, and Lisa Markham. So, Claire actually has some questions to ask Lisa, so let's throw it over to her.
I heard that you went to Harvard, and I was really interested on what it was like going there.
Well, first I need to correct you on the Harvard portion. I was not smart enough to go for 4 years.
Oh.
So this was a program that actually the broadcast industry had decided to do with length of courses available to those already in leadership positions that could help them be better leaders. And the television stations were able, selected general managers paid for by the owners of the companies, to go for an entire semester and to literally go through the course as you would if you were a student at Harvard. So you would have 40 case studies, and you would go through those 40 case studies of those businesses, not identified as to who they were, but you would be given the scenario of that business. And at the end, you would have to meet with your other classmates, as well as yourself, as well as the professor, and decide whether or not that company failed or missed. And sometimes you got it right, sometimes you really got it wrong, which was great because what it taught you is that when you learn about a company, it's not always what it appears to be. And sometimes a company could look like it's going down the wrong track, and suddenly it rights itself, and that company could be the next Apple or Microsoft. And those were the greatest takeaways that I learned coming back then with my broadcast career, having that kind of Harvard experience behind me. I recommend it for everyone.
That's awesome. And I was just going to ask you, too, kind of linking that together and knowing you have such a strong broadcasting background, you know, how has broadcast helped you in alliance to your entrepreneurship?
Oh, it's been invaluable. Absolutely invaluable. When you run a broadcast station, you have thousands and thousands of advertisers.
Mm-hmm.
And many times you have to review their tapes. And they have 30 seconds to sell a product. And this is what I grew up learning, that you could have a tremendous product,
mm-hmm.
but maybe you hired the wrong advertising agency and they got completely off brand, they got completely off copy, and they've spent millions and millions of dollars and the product doesn't sell. And they don't understand why. They might blame the television stations for, oh, it's not the right demographic, or we didn't buy the right show. So over the course of my career, I learned so many businesses and what it takes to make them run great, run poorly. And so many of the times, it's in the message and articulating that message with the advertising agency or maybe in-house that you choose to embark upon. So when you're doing that all the time, you're very entrepreneurial.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're learning about new businesses and new products every single day. And that just kind of lights that wick inside of you when you decide to become an entrepreneur.
With knowing all this information about how long it takes to sell a product on the radio and broadcasting, can you tell us about some of your inventions and your steps to your entrepreneurial journey?
Well, one of them, the company that I started while I was still a broadcaster, and actually the Tribune Company became my first client, was a product that I felt kind of went into the face of Nielsen and questioned their sort of ridiculous methodology at the time, which they actually now just have started to change. It's the paper diary method, they still send out paper diaries to young people and expect them to fill out on a piece of paper their viewership for over a month. Broadcasters were losing billions of dollars with that approach, but they were a monopoly. So I came up with a way to kind of test that system. They didn't like it. They came after me. They sued me and tried to put me out of business. And actually, we ended up surviving, and we turned it into an algorithm, and we sold that to another company. And then through that, I found another product called Lenticular. And that was one of those, if you look at the cards now, if you go into a store, a card store, and you see those cards that kind of change image as you hold it, and they turn into different images. We came up with a patent on that approach, and that was in turn sold by another private company, and we got the licensing from that for many years. So, again, keeping your eyes open for opportunities in who's not doing their job well. In this case, it was the AC Nielsen company. In another case, who was doing the product well, but maybe hadn't taken it far enough. And those were both the impetus for the reason why we started both of those companies.
Wow, that's some great insight. And I also just wanted to ask you, looking at your career at an overall standpoint, what would you say would be your biggest highlight?
I would say building that television station, KSWB, and building it out completely. This is the tower, the studio. Starting it from scratch, the news department, the whole thing from where it was before, which is literally on a salt mine 3 miles from the Tijuana border, sliding into the salt mine at an inch and a half a month. That's literally how bad the physical facility was. To the state-of-the-art facility that I got to build that's still a monument today in broadcasting here in the San Diego market, probably my single best business accomplishment, and of course my personal accomplishments, were my two daughters, Farron and Lauren, 24 and 31 now.
Oh, that's so cute. That's awesome. So what do they think of you and your career? I think that's pretty awesome to have a mom that's accomplished so much and, you know, has gone through this incredible journey, and just to say like, yep, that's my mom. Look at her go.
Superhero mom.
I know, superhero, right?
Superwoman.
My children have been so supportive of me, and we are very, very, very close. I'm one of those very lucky mothers that can say, yes, I did raise two teenage girls, and yes, they did go through periods where they hated me. And I didn't like them sometimes either too much, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have always endeavored to communicate. Obviously, my background is communication. And, you know, if you just keep talk.
Yeah.
You know, they stay very close to you. I'm so proud of both of my daughters. I know they're proud of me. And they write me the most beautiful cards and letters, sometimes emails out of the blue. And I treasure every single card I've ever received, every email, every text, because it's always, Mom, I love you, I miss you. I think about you every day, and I say to myself, what would my mom do? And I'll tell you, that just brings tears to my eyes, and probably will to the day I die.
That's awesome.
So what are some inspirations for what? Oh, sorry. What inspiration can you give to young women and girls today?
Be fearless, be focused, have that vision clearly articulated in your mind, be flexible enough to really look at what you're doing and say, you know, if it's wrong, change it. Don't be so adamant and so stubborn that you stay too focused on it. Make sure you always have your head up and look around you all the time for mentors, for teachers, for your competitors that might be doing something better or different. Always, always, always be the hunters and gatherers, and you'll be hugely successful.
That's amazing.
And I think that's awesome that you brought that up, Lisa, because even more so as a teenager who's going through high school and is experiencing this thing we call life, you know, which is just ever so crazy, I think it's so easy at times that we can get so down on ourselves about, you know, what we're doing wrong, what we're not doing right, and this is what I need to be doing. But truly, it's working towards those goals, being positive and just saying, I can accomplish this. And, you know, it's not going to be perfect in the beginning. It's going to take a few tries, but we're definitely going to get it.
Yes, and I completely agree with you. And the other thing that I didn't have, mm-hmm. and I'm dating myself here, obviously, the social media.
So true.
I think that's a real added pressure for girls. And I would tell them, I know it's a very addictive medium. That's what I do for a living. I get that. But be very careful about what you're posting and how much time you're wasting
mm-hmm.
With stuff that's just not important and won't be important a year from now. Just stay away from the stuff out there that you know in your heart makes you feel worse when you stop reading it, or maybe if you think about it too much when you go to bed, then that's not the right message for you, and get off of it. Stay off of it.
Sounds
good. Be good to yourself.
Very cool, Lisa. Thank you for that. And it looks like it's time to take another break, so keep it right here. You're listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls.
What about the world concerns you? Is it future success? Is it world issues? Are you just looking to change the world in general? Tune in to What Up World. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, or what you look like. Everyone is entitled to the same chance for success. Follow your dreams. Move forward. Make a difference. Tune in to What Up World every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
You're listening to Voice America Kids. Real kids, real talk
radio. You are
radio.
Listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Be sure to join in the discussion by tweeting us at #WomenInvest or on Facebook at Women Investing in Women. We want to hear what you have to say. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, everybody, to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm Maddie Rose, here with Claire Hayden, Anu Bardwaj, and Lisa Markham. So we're going to throw it back to Claire because she actually has a few questions to ask herself.
I was just wondering, how did you get involved in angel investing?
I got involved after the two companies did well and I sold them, and I had just a little pot of money. And I decided that what I'd like to do is find those companies led by young people. And I didn't delineate the time to say they're male or female. I just wanted to find a really good product and a team. And that's when I started investing. And really, as of late, it was Felina Hansen and Sylvia Ma, who I met through Hera Hub and the first Women Investing in Women's Conference. And that's where I met Anu. And I loved it, absolutely loved it. I loved how the whole conference was put together. It was over the course of about 3 days, or 2 days, I believe. You'll correct me if I'm wrong. But I went to both of them, and I got to see so many women out there, young women, doing amazing things in software and in science and in healthcare, in retail. And I was very excited about that. I was in the midst and am in the midst of investing in other companies run by men, but they're going to be hiring quite a few females. And just today, CyberHive is, I'm working with them, and I'm going to make sure that the people that they have in their pitch fest, that they have at least 50% women in their pitches. So I can kind of start to push my way around a little bit, you know, money talks to a certain extent. But that's what I love about angel investing, is I really get an opportunity to see the very cool things that are out there and kind of select the things that fit my passion.
So I just want to point out to our young women listeners out there and their parents and friends that the economic empowerment of women really starts with us. And, you know, you're just giving us such a concrete example where you're going to put your money to work and you're going to have some decision-making powers on what their board's going to look like, what their management's going to look like, what sorts of consumer decisions this company's going to be making. So this is one reason why we really need more women angel investors out there in terms of leveling the playing field overall for women in the workforce. And, you know, I think it's amazing, like, when we get exposure to this aspect of buying and consuming, where we're actually able to take control, that's really going to change the landscape for younger women coming in into the corporate workforce down the road.
It is, Claire. And, you know, I will say it's not just about infusing women and to make it just a level playing field. It's really, the world is a better place when you have a balance of men and women working together. It gets out of balance when you have too much of one or the other, quite frankly. And so a really good company is run by the smartest people, no matter what their gender, what their race. So that always has to be the key number one focus of anything you do. And I really like the new younger men today. They've been raised by a lot of the women, such as myself. They have no problem staying at home, taking care of their kids. They've grown up with smart sisters and smart mothers. And I think they're going to really be important to help their wives and their girlfriends and their sisters really accomplish their goals. So, you know, again, together we will make a tremendous team.
Well, that's amazing. Thank you so much for enlightening that for me. I was just wondering, what was your proudest investment?
Well, it would have to be my own company, DMTV, as far as what I invested in, because I was angel investing in myself. The others, frankly, they're still in that 5 to 6 year period. So I will, you know, probably have a better opportunity to see which one of those companies are in a couple of years. So come back and ask me in a couple of years on that.
And that's a great comment there, because there's a study that I recently read by a woman named Barbara Stewart in Canada. And she said that out of the 50% of women that she interviewed for her most recent study on women investing in women, is that majority of women decide to invest in themselves. And that's something that, you know, we can't emphasize more for our young women and girls listening, that you do need to invest in yourself, invest in your ideas, your companies. And there's nothing more prouder that you can do in terms of accomplishments for yourself and for others than to really believe in yourself.
Empowering yourself is the first step to success.
Well said.
Completely, completely, completely agree.
Absolutely.
And so with that, just kind of staying on track with encouragement and, you know, learning from everything that you've said today, what advice can you give to us for somebody who's just learning to be an entrepreneur? They're brand new to everything and they want to take those steps in order to be as successful as you are.
Well, you know, fortunately, there are a lot of women in your own community that you can reach out to. I don't know of any community where there's not a cluster of women that are networking, that are meeting, startup groups, meetup groups. The great thing about the internet, that you can find those groups and be a part of them. And so start small, get your group together small, whether they be people like you or angels or mentors. So start locally. Then there's a great deal of books out there that you can download. And if all the chapters don't apply to you, learn about capital. Learn finances. Make sure you understand how businesses run. I call it the gazinta and the gazauta, because I worked for a Greek for 14 years. And it was always at the bottom line was, because our stations really funneled and helped all the other television stations get built, what is the gazinta and the gazauta? You have to understand both, what money you're taking in and what money is leaving, and what your profits are, what your net profits are, what your cost of goods are, understand what retail is. And fortunately, again, all that information is out there and it's easily available on the internet. So make sure you're really educated about starting the business before you just go out and start talking to people. Make sure you have your ducks in a row first.
Thank you so much for, Thank you so much for clearing that up and helping me understand what it is to be an entrepreneur. I was just wondering, what women's initiatives are you involved in, and what would you recommend to girls like me and Maddie to think about?
Well, first of all, I have to ask you, because I can't see you, how old are you guys?
I'm 16. How old are you?
I'm 16 as well.
Oh, you are so ahead of the game. I didn't even know that when you started this interview. I'm now 10 times more impressed with the job that you have done. Just the fact that you're doing this. Every time you get up in front of anybody, and I will tell you this first and foremost, learn to stand up in front of people. That's the number one fear of everybody, is standing up and speaking, doing any kind of public speaking in front of people. The fact that you're doing this is remarkable. So learn those presentation skills. That would be my first and foremost. Continue doing what you're doing. But also learn, and again, there's a lot of local groups out there where you can actually go and learn how to give a good presentation in front of a group. And every single company that I've watched do their pitch, the best ones that have won are the ones that practiced it 50, 60, 70 times and then went to a professional group to help them hone the pitch. So, and that builds confidence. So that gets back to the very first thing I said at the very beginning of the program. If that builds your confidence, that's what you need to do. Then do your research on what it is that you want to do. And I would imagine you two girls probably have a good idea of what you want to do in college and what you want to do after college. Do you not?
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. I got to tell you, that was not the case 20, 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know. The fact that you already know that, and again, you have so much more that helps facilitate that for you now than I did. Take advantage of every single thing out there that you can. And again, build your plan. But there's plenty of women out there, and I would really make sure, don't be afraid to ask. I will tell you that I wish so many more women had asked me things, and I wish I had asked more women when I was young, older women, and I was either too scared or like, gee, I didn't know what they would think. Wrong. That is a misconception. Women love to help other women, and you're not taking their time. It's an honor to be asked.
I agree. And Lisa, the only other question I had for you is, how can other people contact you or learn more about your company?
Certainly go on my website. I have no problem giving my phone number, my email. It's all on the website, mcmedia.com. My hiphelp.org is out there, too, for people that are facing medical situations. It's a kind of an overall arcing website where it also gives you advice on how to handle doctors. And let's face it, healthcare is something we all deal with, no matter what our age.
Mm-hmm.
And then Twitter as well. So I'm at mx3. And I welcome phone calls, emails, texts, whatever medium that person is comfortable with.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Lisa, for joining us for today's show. We appreciate it so very much.
Thank you, Claire. Thank you, Maddie. Thank you, Anu. And you guys did awesome.
Thank you.
I can't wait to hear more.
Awesome. So we'd like to invite all of our listeners to please continue the conversation on Twitter and Facebook by hashtagging Women Invest. We want to hear what you have to say. So thanks so much for listening. You've been listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls here on Voice America Kids, produced by the KidStar Radio Network. And up next is a track from the KidStar Album of the Month. And remember, here at KidStar, we empower kids.
Thank you for joining us today. Your hosts will be back next Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, for another edition of Women Investing in Women and Girls on the Voice America Kids channel. We'll talk then.
From Phoenix, Arizona, and host of Bookworm. The KidStar Album of the Month this month is Back in School, Neil Brewer and Friends. Let's listen to Three Kids in the Car.
Three kids in the car on a Monday morning, each one wishing that the others weren't born. And I can't say nothing because they've all been scorned because their mother's done had enough. And the sister's sitting in the front seat, who at this part of the song you need to realize is about 3 months away from getting her driver's license. She's thinking to herself, I can't believe that I'm still riding with them. I hope that we're not seen by some of my friends. And if by chance I fail the driver's exam, then I am running away. Three kids in a car on a Monday morning, each one wishing that the others weren't born. And I can't say nothing because they've all been scorned because their mother's done had enough. Brothers sitting behind her, who at this point of the song you need to realize is about 5 years younger than she is, but he's still about 2 years older than his little brother sitting next to him. He glares down at his little brother and he's thinking to himself, I can't wait till our sister's finally gone. Then I'll sit up front cause that's where I belong. And I'll be rid of you, you miserable worm. Why don't you just run away? Three kids in a car on a Monday morning, each one wishing that the others weren't born. They can't say nothing because they've all been scorned because their mother's done bad enough. And the little brother, who at this point of the song you need to realize is a whole lot smarter than the other two think he is. He glares back up at his big brother and he's thinking to himself, I know that there's nobody back in the trunk. Try to scare me with all that junk. I hope you read my mind, I think you're a skunk. And guess what, I'm not running away. Three kids in a car on a Monday morning, each one wishing that the others weren't born. And they can't say nothing because they've all been scorned because their mother's done had enough. And the mother who's been driving all this time, she's thinking to herself, things that I'd better not say. So we'll just pretend that she's thinking, oh, what a beautiful day.
The KidStar Album of the Month is Back in School by Neil Brewer and Friends. All musical proceeds Neil Brewer and Friends received are donated to the Harvard Stem Cell Institute to put an end to muscular dystrophy. For more information, go to the KidStar website, www.kidstar.org.